Lord, we just thank you that you are here and about to break free something awesome. So, Lord, I just ask that you would bring deliverance and you would bring breakthrough into our hearts today as your word comes forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, as Pastor Jason has mentioned to you, I'm speaking to you about prayer and fasting and that area of Denise and mine, who's unable to be here with you this morning. Denise in our life has been really important and absolutely amazing. So I'm just going to share a few things and just encourage you in this area before we go through to the fast on Thursday. Okay, so let's start in Mark chapter 8. Now, this is the situation. There was a father who had an epileptic, or he had a son who had a deaf and dumb spirit, and he had seizures, and he was mute. And the father loved his son, but, you know, he was really keen to see him healed. So he brought him to Jesus' disciples for prayer and to see if they could heal him. And it says that they prayed and they prayed, but they could not cast this spirit out. And you imagine how this would have been for the disciples. They would have been, you know, disappointed and embarrassed, and you know, there were religious leaders there. In one section of the scripture, it says that there were Sadducees there, and you know, maybe they were just sort of mocking them and calling them names, and at the fact that they couldn't cast out this demon. And you imagine the father's disappointment. And then Jesus shows up. And maybe he was away on a hill praying and fasting somewhere, and his disciples were left to go it alone. But Jesus shows up, and it says in Matthew 9 this: when Jesus saw the people, they came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, when Jesus had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, This kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So Jesus draws a line here. He didn't say, whoa, guys, stand back. I'm the only one who can deal with this. He said, this is possible, but he communicated that there are certain breakthroughs that require some practical preparation. Well, as you'd agree, this is very good news for us, because this means that what would be, you know, appear to be impossible for us is possible if we make certain preparations to see those things come to pass. That if we would pray and that we would fast, the impossible becomes the possible. So that prayer and fasting, we can see breakthroughs that we never thought possible to happen. So if you're prepared to push, fast, and pray, much more is available. Prayer combined with fasting is a power gift to supercharge your effectiveness in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus clearly identified that without prayer and fasting, this healing or deliverance or breakthrough was not possible. So what's your need today? Where's your breakthrough? You know, it begs the question, why is it that fasting is the most underutilized and underpracticed power gift in the church. You know, I rang up, I've got a mate who is part of the group of guys that I regularly surf with, and he's a Baptist pastor. And I rang him because I was speaking on this topic, and he's also an ultra marathon runner, a very successful one. And I wanted to talk to him about a few things about the body. And when I mentioned the topic, he immediately went, "Oh, fasting? You don't see many Christians do that these days." And I thought, yeah, you're right. You know, if you're of the understanding that fasting is for pastors or some priest in some monastery somewhere, you are missing an incredibly valuable tool for your life. In fact, Jesus sees it as part of the three duties of the everyday Christian disciple. In Matthew 6 or Matthew 5 and 6, we find Jesus' most important teaching on the life of a Christian disciple. And it starts with the Beatitudes in chapter 5, then a lot about Christian lifestyle, then it goes on to the Lord's Prayer and you know, instructional teaching on how to pray. And then in the middle of chapter 6, Jesus describes three activities as the when-yous. Pastor Jason mentioned them this morning. When you give, and then there's a whole lot of teaching on how you give as a Christian disciple. And then he goes on to the when you pray, and there's a whole lot of teaching about what you do when you pray. But then there is the when you fast, and a whole lot of teaching about what fasting's meant to look like and how you go about fasting. So, you know, why is it then that one of these three basic principles of the Christian life is missing in many believers' life? Remember, these are the when-yous, not the if-yous. So I could go around this group this morning and go, when you, how's your fasting levels? When you, you know, this is meant to be our normal activity. You know, in Solomon's Book of Wisdom, in Ecclesiastes 4, it says, "A threefold cord is not easily broken." And if you look at giving, praying, and fasting, that is a powerful threefold cord. That is the when-yous that Jesus mentioned, that is a powerful part of every Christian's life. But it's interesting that fasting is very lacking in the Western church. You know, fasting has been a source of intimacy with God, hearing his voice, breakthrough and deliverance since the beginning. Adam and Eve were told to fast one fruit. Moses fasted for 40 days prior to receiving the law. Hannah fasted seeking a child of her own, and Samuel was born. David often fasted for God's help and deliverance. Elijah fasted for 40 days and encountered God. Ezra fasted for the safe travel of the Jews returning from exile. Esther fasted for favor from the king and saw the whole nation of Israel delivered. Daniel fasted to understand a vision and brought great breakthrough. Jesus started his ministry with 40 days of fasting and overcame the devil's temptations of the flesh. The early church fasted in Antioch for the identification of leaders. And I love this scripture. This is what it says. It says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said." The voice of God through praying and fasting. Paul fasted and personally encountered Jesus. When Jesus asked why his disciples were not fasting, he said this. He said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom, being Jesus, will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." Well, this is those days. We're living in the dispensation of the church. We're living in those days. You know, John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist denomination, he would not ordain a minister unless he agreed to, or he or she agreed to fast 2 days a week. St. Augustine, from the 4th century, a theologian, said, "Fasting cleanses the soul, raises the mind, subjects the flesh to the spirit, renders the heart contrite and humble." Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, "Of fasting I say this, it is right to fast frequently in order to subdue and control the body. For when the stomach is full, the body does not serve for preaching, for praying, for studying, or for doing anything else that is good." Far out. Really? Personally, the greatest healings, the greatest breakthroughs I have ever seen, my wife and I have ever seen in our lives, have been a result of prayer and fasting. Actually, my personal deliverance came through a God encounter of prayer and fasting. This is how it went. I was struggling, big time. I was plagued with sexual thoughts, lust, and an uncontrolled thought life. And I was battling, and I hated it, and I didn't want it. I wanted to be a pure, clean Christian. And one day I read this in Galatians 5:16, and it said, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." That had my attention. Then it said, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against," "for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Well, that was me. That was exactly me. So I prayed. I started to pray, and I started to say, "God, show me how to walk in the Spirit. I need to know how to walk in the Spirit, because if I walk in the Spirit, I won't follow the dictates of the flesh. God, show me how to walk in the Spirit." Look, I prayed that for days, weeks, maybe longer. I don't know. I can't remember. But I prayed it for a long time. And after a long time of praying, God gave me one word very, very clearly. And that one word was fast. Now, personally, I went, "Really, God? Fast? What has that got to do with walking in the Spirit?" I really was quite surprised at that. But I thought, "Okay, God, if that's, you know, what you want me to do, then I'll fast." And I'd had several short experiences with fasting before, you know, a couple of days, 2 days, maybe 3 days. And, you know, they'd always been bad, and they'd always been highlighted by headaches, leg aches, and uncomfortable hunger every time. But I was determined to learn to walk in the Spirit. I needed this breakthrough. So day one, I was feeling real bad. I woke up in the morning, you know, started fasting. By 10 o'clock in the morning, I've got a headache. And by lunchtime, I'm going, "God, how am I going to do this?" And my body's starting to go, "Well, you just eat lunch, Ian." And I'm going, no, I'm going to keep fasting. And I started to get aches in the back of my legs and my body was tense and I was feeling really bad and my flesh is starting to scream at me going, hey, just cheesels, twisties, anything, hamburgers, ice creams, it doesn't matter. Just feed me. And I'm going, no. And I kept fasting and that voice, you know that internal dialogue thing that takes place? Well, that got louder and louder and louder until the point after several days of fasting, my flesh started saying, I'm dying here. You're killing me. Honest. But I heard another voice, quiet and soft, but very authoritative. And that voice said, I'm in control here. Okay. And you know what? As I fasted for another day, probably did 3 days, I suppose, the screaming of my body got louder, but the voice of my spirit got louder also. And you know what I heard my spirit say to my flesh on one occasion? I'm in control here. I could kill you if I wanted to. I could starve you to death because I'm in control. And I went out of that fasting experience being totally transformed because I recognized that I had this voice, the voice of the flesh, which has its own desire and its own wills and its own practices that it wanted to dictate in my life. And on the other hand, I had a spirit inside me that was empowered by the Holy Spirit going, no, I'm in control here. I came out of that experience recognizing that fasting, you're able to identify the voice of the flesh, which is loud and panicked, and the voice of the spirit, which is soft, confident, authoritative, and will lead you into a life of righteousness and peace. And from that revelation, I learnt how to put down the flesh. Romans 5:8-5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. Your carnal mind, your flesh mind, is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But then in Romans 8:2-3, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So when I was tempted by my flesh to think sinful thoughts, my spirit would step in and go, whoa, not going there. No, not going there. I reject that. In Jesus' name. And I've been living out of that revelation ever since. You know, fasting has become a more regular occurrence for Denise and I, and it's something that we've walked in over the years quite a lot. And in 2007, Denise got Ross River virus. She's bitten by a mosquito and got Ross River virus. And at the time we were pastoring a church, we were also running a business. So we were busy, we had lots to do, and Denise's health deteriorated and deteriorated and deteriorated to the point where she could barely get out of bed. Some days she could get out of bed, some days she couldn't. And she was praying into this diligently. And God said to her, the key to Ross River is fasting. So she went, okay, I'll do it. So she fasted for about a week. And she felt better, but she wasn't healed. So what we did is we rented a caravan that we knew of that is right on the beach in Busselton, right on the edge of the sand. It's almost you step out the door onto the beach. And she stayed there for 40 days and she fasted for 40 days, just drinking liquids, nothing else. And her strength came back, her energy returned, and she came back from that 40 days being totally healed. We've had numerous other breakthroughs as a result of fasting. And, you know, as a church, when we were pastoring, we used to fast. We used to fast twice, 21 days a year. And people would join us in parts of that or all of that. But I believe that this really works. And we're created this way. We are body, soul, and spirit. And before we get saved, our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, is guided and controlled by the dictates of the body or the flesh. I feel this. I feel that. I need this. I need that. But when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and awakens or empowers our natural spirit, the spirit of man. So the transformation of a Christian's life is this: moving from where the soul, the mind, will, and emotions lives under the direction or the guidance or the control or the dictates of the flesh, to where our soul, our mind, will, and emotions lives under the directions of our spirit, little s, the spirit of man, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And fasting clearly identifies where we are in that transition. Remember, the flesh, this body, is your earthly vehicle. Okay? And I believe that we have a sense of that deep in our understanding. We sort of kind of sense the fact that this body, it's just a vehicle. It's just a way that we transport ourselves around during this time on this earth. I believe that how we identify that, or when I first started to identify that, was this way. Is I realised that the person that is me is not getting older at the same rate as this. I started to think that when I was 8 years old, I was the same person that I am now. Oh, look, I've had, you know, I'm a bit wiser and I've had a few more experiences, but I'm still the same. So I'm traveling, it's me traveling or living in this flesh vehicle. The flesh is separate from your soul and your spirit. You know, I know this vehicle is aging, as you can see. It's not the current model. It's got a few dents, bit of rust, and the roof has totally lost its paint. But it's still the same me who lives inside, right? And that's the part that lives forever. That's the true me, the soul and the spirit, not the body. This deteriorating bit isn't me. Job put it beautifully in Job 10 when he said this. He said, "You clothe me with skin and flesh. You knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and favour, and your care has preserved my spirit," small s, the spirit of man. You see how he's saying that me, you have clothed in this body. And if we start to see ourselves that way, that changes the way we think. You know, there is a conscious separation between me, soul and spirit, and my flesh. And Paul speaks about this in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 2. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven." So the transformation of the Christian life, listen, because this is important, is letting go of the power of the earthly house or vehicle and its controls and its lusts and its dictates, and prematurely, by faith, taking up residence in the house that's not made with hands. Does that make sense? And fasting helps you experience that. It subdues the flesh so you can experience that. So stop letting the vehicle tell you what to do. Start to take control of the vehicle. You drive it. Stop pandering to the flesh. Very quiet in here. You know, the flesh nature, as Pastor Jason mentioned this morning, doesn't want you to fast. Your flesh does not want you to fast. It'll give you every excuse why you shouldn't fast, every reason. You know, I can't fast because I have a very physical job. I used to believe that lie. I did. Until I realized who told me that. It's like the who told you were naked thing. Who told you that I can't fast and do a physical job? Well, my calves did. But that's my flesh. So I thought, no, I'm not listening to you again. You've tricked me too many times. This can't be possible. So I confirmed that wasn't true. And I actually proved that that was a lie. So I used to do, working as a shipwright, which was quite physical, you know, I was building, restoring timber boats. We were carrying full sheets of plywood and bending big timber planks in and all this sort of thing. I used to do 21-day fasts with just liquids, with no problems at all. Not have a physical problem with that. You know, our staff, it was quite hilarious, you know, because you can't hide for them. I used to say, well, I'm going off to the car to pray at lunchtime or something. You know, and my staff, they were waiting for me to die. When I told some of them that I was fasting with no food for 21 days, they were going, oh, in the morning, they go, oh, you're still here. They honestly thought I was going to die. But you know what? I used to do that without pain, with energy to fulfill what I was trying to do. That was a lie that my body was telling me that I couldn't do that. You know, as a church, when we were pastoring, you know, I heard all the excuses. But when I stood back and really listened to these excuses, they were all things that were spoken by the flesh. I had a lady in our church who was addicted to iced coffee. Big time. She couldn't go a day without drinking several iced coffees through fasting. All right. So your flesh will try to trick you. You know what happened is I'm actually fasting at the moment. Okay. Now, I jumped the gun and started. I haven't eaten since Wednesday night. So I started fasting on Thursday morning. And this is how tricky your flesh is. We did the prayer meeting on Thursday morning and I'm working. Okay, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, like only 10 o'clock. And I start, there's this gnawing in my stomach. It's real gnawing. And I'm going, gee, you're hungry, Ian. And I hear the flesh going, yeah, you're really hungry. You probably need to eat something. And I'm thinking, no, I'm fasting. And then I thought to myself, I don't eat breakfast any day. And I don't feel that. So what? My flesh was convincing me that because I was fasting, I should be hungry. And there was this physical sensation of gnawing my stomach. And I 5 days a week, I never eat breakfast. It's tricky. You got to watch out for it. The word talks in depth about the war between the flesh and the spirit. And Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Don't let it have its way, okay? You know, the Bible talks about three fasts, three different types of fast. There's the absolute fast, which is no food, no water. I've never done this. I never plan to, okay? Only, listen, only do that if God tells you to do that. And I would still seek medical advice, okay? Then there's what I would call the standard fast, the normal fast, which is no food and only liquids, okay? Now, I believe this is the one to learn. It's that fast that we're trying. This is the one to learn. You can fast for one day or you can fast for 40 days. But I would look at as a goal being at some stage in your life, get to the point where you can comfortably fast 3 days. Because my experiences, and I'm experiencing it even now, is that after 2.5 days or so, your spirit kicks in. So it's not till you get to about 2.5 days, your body stops digesting and your spirit is just alive and God's presence is just bang, just there. But it takes 2.5 days to kick in. So, but start small. This isn't something that you just jump into and do straight away. Start small. Maybe this fast, this 10 days coming up, maybe try and do 1 day of full fast where you just fast with liquids. And then maybe our next fast, which will probably be in January, February or something like that, try and do 2 days. Then there's the partial fast that we see in the Bible that Daniel does. And there's, you know, there was no meat or there was no sweets, that he just ate fruit and vegetables. Now, that's great and I think that's good and it's legitimate, but there's a problem with this. And I personally found there's a problem with that. Is in that you can keep your system full and still digesting for as long as you want, full of fruit and vegetables. If I had a banana for breakfast, a banana for lunch, and a nice big bowl of vegetables for dinner, that's normal eating. It's not fasting. Because our body still continues to digest, still continues to feel full. You go, oh, I'm so hungry, I'll have another 6 bananas. You might get a tummy ache, but, you know, like, I mean, is that fasting? Our flesh will take over. It will try that stuff. I've done it. I've lived on a Daniel fast where I've eaten as much as I would normally. You know, digestion takes energy, and you'll notice that as soon as your body isn't digesting, the energy kicks in. It's an amazing thing. So once you stop digesting, your spirit just comes alive. Okay, I'm just going to run through a bunch of things that I've learned or found, I think you'll find helpful with fasting. You ready? These are very practical. Fasting is a learned practice. Okay, you grow in it. So start small and build up. You know, let's play the long game when it comes to fasting, not the short game. Maybe have a life goal of being able to fast for 10 days with just liquids. So that if it takes you 5 years to get to that, that's okay. Or if you, you know, if play the long game, it might take you 2 or 3 years to get to the point where you can fast more than 1 day with just liquids. But make it your aim, set it as a goal. Be realistic, but challenge yourself. You know, my first serious fast, the one I was talking about, where I was delivered from that thing or got the revelation of the flesh and the spirit, that was in 1994. So that's 31 years of practicing fasting. And, you know, we used to do a lot of fasts with our church. Like I said, we'd do 221 days a year. And you get familiar with how it feels. Like I have a sensation in my body at the moment after 3 days of not eating anything that I'm familiar with. And it's almost like I hate fasting, but the sensation I feel is fantastic. It's like an old friend, and there's this, it's almost like a sensitivity in God that I just do not normally feel. So the feeling becomes like a reminder of special intimate times with God. Secondly, prayerfully choose a fasting plan. Decide prior to fasting what you're going to do. And God will lead you. He will help you in this. He will show you things. Like this fast that I'm doing now, I'm fasting for Denise's health primarily. That's what I've been praying into. But I sat down, I knelt down beside my bed on Thursday morning, very early in the morning, and I said, God, I commit myself to this fast, and I'm here to see Denise's healing, and Lord, I just ask that you bless this fast and this sort of thing. God brought a condition. We've got a yacht. He said, I don't want you to think about your yacht or work on your yacht until you finish fasting. I said, okay. Which is a real bummer because I plan on working on that Saturday. Okay, God, I get it. Have a fasting purpose, okay? So, as I mentioned, I'm currently fasting about Denise's health. And next Thursday, I will be following Pastor Jason's fasting plan, okay? Many times in Scripture, you know, you'll see groups of people or individuals or even a whole nation called to fast for a particular purpose. So the fasting plan, even if it's not your own, can be called by God and incredibly fruitful. Fourthly, pray. You know, like use your extra time that you don't have preparing food, or, you know, take lunch time off when you're at work and just go and spend time, walk and pray. Because, you know, fasting without prayer is starvation. When you're driving, instead of TV or social media, that's a novel idea. Pray in the Spirit. If you run out of things to pray, just pray in the Spirit. Fifthly, have faith and expectations that God will move. You know, often when we start fasting, you don't feel spiritual at all. The first 2 days of fasting is a challenge, and you don't necessarily feel very spiritual, but push through. You know, and know that your prayers are being answered. Daniel had a situation where he fasted and prayed and nothing happened for 10 days. But an angel showed up and said, Daniel, from the moment you started praying, your prayers were heard. So no matter what you feel like, Daniel would have been going through the fasting thing going, oh, I feel terrible, I want to eat. But fast, push, because God will be answering your prayers even from that point. You know, we've always received our greatest breakthroughs after the season of fasting, not during. Look, this is, yeah, I won't say that. Fasting should be food. TV, sport, social media should be something that we have control over in our normal lives. And there is a big difference between the things that the body likes and the thing that the body needs. So our flesh cannot live, our flesh can live without TV or social media, but its primarily important need is food. So food needs to be the thing that we pass. Look, the Bible talks about abstaining from sex for reasons of fastings. Well, you married couples can work that out between you. But food is the thing that the flesh really needs. Seventhly, fasting identifies what you're addicted to. Here we go. You ready for it? Coffee. Sugar. Look, it comes down to this, and this is very helpful. I've found this extremely helpful. 1 Corinthians 6:12 to 13 says, this is Paul speaking, all things are lawful for me, right? But all things are not helpful. Then he says it again. All things are not lawful for me, I mean, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And I live out of this. This scripture helps me all the time. You know why? Because I love Coke and I love coffee. I love both of those things. But I'd never drink Coke or coffee on a regular basis. Because all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. We've just recently been in Bali for a couple of weeks, right? So I started having a cup of coffee with breakfast. You know, I was away on holidays. I'm thinking, oh, this is beautiful, you know, drinking my cup of coffee. Next day, I came back and I thought, yeah, I'll have another one. That was so good. So I had another coffee the next morning. The next morning, I was starting to look for it. On the fourth day, I was starting to go, I need my coffee. And I thought, whoa, 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 whoa. I will not be brought under the power of any. Coke's one of the most addictive substances on the planet, right, Pastor Olivia? We have this Coke thing where I'll give her a can of Coke and she'll give me a can of Coke. You know? Oh, beautiful. You know, I drink Coke, but very, very rarely. Because when we're at Rottnest, you know, like, and I'm surfing lots, I'm using lots of energy, go, oh, yeah, I can drink Coke, it's hot and it's nice and all good. But I find that after the second and the third day, I'm starting to look for it. And I go, whoa, 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 that's enough. I'm not going to drink that anymore. So alcohol is the same, all those things. You know, it's not that we're not allowed to, it's just that we need to be out of control. But the thing with fasting and with coffee and sugar is if you're addicted to coffee, as soon as you fast, you'll get headaches. And that's one of the things that stopped me fasting. If you're addicted to sugar, as soon as you start fasting, the backs of your legs will start to ache. And that was one of the things that stopped me fasting. It's a minor thing, but we need to prepare ourselves and live in such a manner. These days, I don't think you should, you know, work up to a fast by not eating those things. You should just live that way, not addicted to anything. And, you know, so if you drink coffee, there's an idea. During this fast, only drink one. See how you go. If you've got a headache, that's probably why. You know, I don't think Christians should be addicted to anything, personally, because it's that area in your life that isn't controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's controlled by your flesh. Got that? That's the only reason. But fasting will identify those things. Look, wow, am I okay to keep going for a minute? Side point. The body is cleverly designed. God designed this body really cleverly. It's fast, it's smart, super fast. So if you take away food from your body, it first consumes glycogen, I think that's how you spell it, pronounce it, glycogen or stored carbohydrates for the first 24 hours. So after 24 hours, it starts to burn fat. And depending on how much fat you have in your system, is how long you can survive before it starts burning muscle, okay? So it'll scavenge any foreign matter before it significantly starts reducing muscle mass. It will cleanse your system first before it consumes muscle. So, you know, you're probably looking at me and go, well, it's okay for you, skinny. I'm only this weight because I don't eat what normal Westerners eat or don't eat as much as what normal Westerners eat. If I ate what my flesh wanted me to eat, I would be enormous. True. A long time ago, I chose a weight. I chose a specific weight in kilograms, and that's where I've chosen to live. Sometimes I go up a bit, sometimes I go down a bit, but I live at a specific weight. Because you can choose that if your flesh isn't telling you what you'll be. Okay? Phew, it's quiet. Awful quiet. Last Sunday, I let my flesh have a party. It was fantastic. I had an enormous amount of pizza. And I drank a can of Coke. It was excellent. Don't stop drinking. You need to drink. When you're fasting, you need to drink much, twice as much. Drink water. I find coconut water very, very helpful because it's high in potassium. It's a natural rehydration material and it has no sugars or preservatives. So coconut water is very handy. Drink juice, yes, but monitor how much juice you drink because there's a lot of sugars, even natural fruit sugars in juice. And if you drink too much, it'll give you a headache also. You'll spike. So just be careful of drinking too much juice. Limit fatty drinks. There is no point fasting if you're going to drink 10 choc milks a day. Okay? I limit myself to one soy drink a day because I don't drink normal milk. I do sometimes. I can, but I just don't. So limit yourself to one soy drink a day. But listen, don't stop taking necessary medications. If you need to take them with food, take them with a banana. Health concerns, if you've got health concerns or you're a diabetic, talk to your doctor. Don't be unwise. Keep taking your medications. Keep doing the things you need to do. 10th, get enough sleep because your body will need more sleep than normal. 11 fasting recommendations for this 10-day fast. Are you ready? Fast at least one day for 24 hours. Have a go. Morning to morning. Then next time we fast, try 2 days. But the rest of the fast, why don't you just fast and have one meal a day? Fast till... My normal routine is 5 days a week. I don't eat before 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now it's not a religious fast. It's a lifestyle fast. So if I'm going out for coffee in the morning, I'll eat. You know, it's not a thing. It's just that I normally don't eat before 4 in the afternoon. So try that. Just have one meal a day during this fasting season. Don't overdo it. Okay, don't overdo what you can't do. Just play the long game. This is a long game. Allow your soul and spirit to control what you eat, not your fleshly desires. Tell it no. I play this game with my flesh. I drive past Kentucky Fried Chicken and I'm driving past and I'm going, I can eat that. I can eat that any day that I choose. But not today. Not if I drive. Keeps it in line. 12thly, fasting is an incredible open door to intimacy with God. He loves it when we just fast to spend time with Him. So fast. Let me encourage you with this. I've just fasted the last 3 days. No pain, no discomfort. Why? No addictions. I feel light. Like right now, I feel really light. I feel like I could run, swim, do whatever I need to do because my body's not digesting. My spirit is really aware. I had a great time with God in the car on the way here this morning. And I can sense God's presence really clearly. You know, the experience of intimacy with God is just amazing when you're fasting. So much so is that when you do long fasts, you fast 20-something days, it's like you go, no, I don't want to eat again because I'm enjoying this sensation of God's presence so much. You always do, but, you know, you've got to work your way in gradually. But it's an amazing thing. I'd just like the musos to join us if they could. This is a great opportunity to turbocharge your spiritual life. See the breakthroughs come that you haven't seen before. I'm just going to read the scripture. This is Isaiah 58:6. It says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen," God speaking, "to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke?" We've been called to be a people of the Spirit. And fasting combined with praying is a mighty weapon for us to take new ground.